In the living room of a New York City apartment overlooking Central Park and the skyline of the Upper West Side, 16-month-old Malini Narayan stands transfixed in front of the television, staring at the gaudy spectacle of a Bollywood musical. With her bottle clutch firmly between her teeth, the tiny girl watches in awe as a beautiful Indian woman, dressed all in white, begins dancing, her arms undulating above her head, her body swaying to the music. Now, Malini also begins to move. She toddles around, turning in circles, trying to imitate the sinuous moves of the actress on screen. A shy smile spreads across her face as her mother urges her on.
Very good, very good!
This is the world of Shobha Narayan, a rich mixture of her native India and her adopted home, America. Narayan has written about her journey from southern India to the United States in her new book, Monsoon Diary, a memoir with recipes. Cooking, she writes, was part of her destiny. She absorbed the secrets of the southern Indian cuisine, sitting in the kitchen, watching her mother and grandmother prepare meals. And when she decided she wanted to attend college in the United States, it was cooking which sealed her fate. Her family didn't want her to go. After endless arguments, an uncle suggested a solution. Make a feast, he said.
Everyone jumped on it and said, yeah, do make a feast, and then if we like it, we'll let you go. Because they all knew that I was going to fall on my face. I mean, I had never cooked before, let alone make a feast. And so I made this feast, and I had enough advice ringing in my ears over the years. I chose a fairly simple recipe, which made a stir-fried okra dish, and then I made some rice, I made some ghee, and then they all came, and they ate and ate and ate. And then my grandfather at the end kind of leaned back and belched. And I knew then that I was going.
As soon as you enter Narayan's house, you can smell the Indian spices. Her kitchen is typical of a New York apartment, small, yet filled with all the modern conveniences. Sometimes, Narayan says, she thinks all those appliances and utensils take away from the cooking. In India, she says, cooking was a tactile experience.
When my grandmother cooked, there was no measuring spoon or anything. It was all measured with the hand. She would say, you know, when you spice food, use your hands so that it would carry the scent of your fingers. And when a woman cooks well, they don't say, oh, you're a good cook. They say, you have a good scent in your hands. Even the common talk emphasizes that sensuality and chopping and cutting and all of that. Sometimes in rasam, for instance, my mother would say, don't chop the tomatoes with a knife. You know, you just hold a tomato in your hand and kind of mush it in with your hands.
Oh, really?
That's how you do it. And if you go to Indian homes, that the tomatoes would have that hand-mushed quality.
Something else about cooking that I find interesting, people who are really good cooks, I think, frequently are able to talk about it, or as in your case, write about it in a way that as you're listening or reading the words, you're dying to eat whatever it is you're talking about, no matter whether it sounds strange or not. You just can tell that a person is a good cook by the way they talk about.
Yeah, that's right. And the women in my family were that way. I mean, they loved nothing better than talking about food, as I learned daily growing up. And to this day, I went for my aunt's 80th birthday in California. As presents for an 80th birthday, what did people bring? They all brought food, different types of food. That was a present. And my aunt sat there and grilled everybody. Oh, how did you make that recipe? It tastes a little unusual. Did you add enough sugar? Oh, you used ricotta cheese? Did you use cooled ricotta cheese or did you warm it first? I mean, this is the conversation.
Narayan has offered to cook lunch for us. It will be a simple meal, she tells us, the kind of food she might cook for her two young daughters. First, she prepares the batter for a vegetable dosa, which is like a pancake or a crepe. This dish, she says, is a good way to sneak vegetables like green peppers, cabbage, or tomatoes into a young child's diet.
So this is a dosa batter. And it has rice flour and lentils, and I add some salt. So this is a savory pancake batter. And on top of this, I'm going to sprinkle some vegetables and flip it like a pancake, and then it's done.
And this is something your daughters love.
Yeah, they'll eat. They don't love it. They'll eat it. They love macaroni and cheese, but they'll eat it. So I just flip the dosa, and the vegetables are underneath. And when I give it to my kids, I kind of fold it halfway so that they don't even see the vegetables. This is another trick.
The dosa will be served with sambar, a gravy-like vegetable dish seasoned with an assortment of Indian spices. All Indian cooking, says Narayan, begins with the spices. She has an entire kitchen cabinet filled with spices. Many of them are homemade, sent to her from India by her mother.
So the ground spices are made fresh every day in a traditional kitchen. So there's none of the storing and stuff that I do. But again, that's my adaptation to America, is I don't have the time to grind and blend these every day.
So when you were growing up, your mother would make the spices fresh every day?
Every day. Again, it's because it's a tropical country, and if you stored it like how I'm doing it, I mean, the insects would come and get them.
Another dish to be prepared is belpuri, which is kind of like an Indian potato salad. Narayan tosses potatoes, tomatoes, and onions together in a mixing bowl, sprinkles them with a crunchy snack food mixture, and tops it with cilantro chutney. She says this dish is a popular street food in southern India.
It's an outdoor food. So people sell this in the beaches, for instance. I guess that's why it's become associated with the summer food. And so when you go, when a typical Indian family, for instance, would go to the beach in the evening, and they'd have these hawker stands that sell this stuff, just like you have your pretzels and your hot dog guys here. And then the man would have all these vegetables, and with lightning fingers, I mean, he would have those separately, like how I have the other vegetables. He would have a separate little dish of tomatoes, separate little dish of mashed potatoes and onions, and then with lightning fingers, he would just kind of mix, throw it all together, and then he would throw the snack on top, and then he would sprinkle some chutney on top and mix it all together and give it to you, and you eat it right on the spot, and it tastes really good. It's about the one food that I would love to eat when I go back to India, and I don't, because again, now I've become Americanized, and I don't drink the water, I don't eat the street food. I mean, my God, I make myself sick sometimes.
It is the cilantro chutney, a watery green mixture of cilantro, green peppers, and lemon, that really gives this dish its tangy flavor and its bite, as I discover when Narayan gives me a taste.
Is it too spicy for you?
It might be as it goes.
But then I can cut down on the chutney.
It's a little hot, but it's good. It's going to get hotter, I can tell.
You're becoming redder.
Something I'm wondering is, as I'm sitting here in New York, with New York out the window of your kitchen, thinking about this being so different from what you grew up with in India, how do you begin to pass all this on to your daughters? How do you get them to experience even something, a smidgen of what you experienced growing up in India, and so that you have that connection with food, that they have the same connection that you have?
See, one thing that works in my favor as a mother is that children absorb a lot more than we think they do. And just this thing, what I'm doing now is keeping my hands over the flame. And it just occurred to me that I've watched my mother do this, because it has to be a certain right heat. It has to be a certain temperature before you add this. And then when you add this, you have to a certain sound, which you will hear. So then you know that you've done it right. Because if you add it and there's no sound, that means the griddle is, it's not hot enough. When I cook, my children wander in and out, and I'm hoping that they'll absorb all this like I did, even though I had no interest in cooking. I mean, I remember all this stuff.
Have you started passing these little secrets on to your daughters, or do you think they're just absorbing?
Not in a formal way. And part of me doesn't want to pass it on, because I know I grew up as the girl is expected to learn cooking, and I want my daughter to become a soccer star. So maybe I won't pass it on.
But you wouldn't want to get lost, would you?
No, I wouldn't want to get lost.
And with that, Narayan invites us to sit down to lunch.
Bon appetit.
Well, what would you say in Indian?
You just say eat. You just keep saying eat. Please eat. It's none of the niceties or the finesse of, you know, cheers or bon appetit. It's just like, eat, my dear. Just eat. Keep eating.
And so we did, and it was delicious. Shobha Narayan's memoir with recipes is called Monsoon Diary.